passion for God, and compassion for our neighbor. Reaching our region and beyond with the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. This is Crosswinds Church. And now, here's Pastor Jordan Gowing.
We're just going to be looking at really our role as a church in global missions. And this is a journey that the Lord has had me and our elder team on for about the last 2 years or so, as we've just been wrestling through, okay, we as a church, we are committed to reaching people with Jesus, but as we read the Great Commission, that means that we aren't just called to do that here, but also to do it globally as well. And so what exactly does that mean? What does that look like? So we've been asking that question, what is our role to faithfully live out our mission, not just locally, but globally over these last couple of years? And what I want us to do this morning is just take us a little bit through that journey that God's been leading us through, leading me through, through His Word, as we really want to commit to this idea of global partnerships. So if you noticed, one of the things that Josh said is, we were the first church to send two people over without any agenda other than to care for them. And he said, please do that again. And that was the first time our church has done that too. And when I was in Uganda, that was a really confirming, one, we just wanted to care for them, but there was also this, not ulterior motive, but we were saying, okay, let's try this out. Is this something that God is calling us to do more frequently? And that was really confirmed during that time. And as we look at God's Word, I think this morning we'll see that that's really God's plan when it comes to churches and a global mission. And so that's what I just want to share with you this morning. The underlying assumption for this morning's sermon is simply this. The local church has been given by the Lord Jesus this task to reach our neighbors and the nations. So we have this task that Jesus has given us to absolutely be at work in our community, reaching our neighbors, but also to be at work globally, reaching the nations. We've been entrusted with this mission of reaching people with Jesus. And our church, I think we do spend a fair bit of time talking about how we reach our neighbors with the gospel. But I want us to focus this morning on how do we reach the nations? Does that mean that all of us have to go? Does that mean that all of us need to go on a short-term mission trip every single year? How are we actually called to reach the nations? So I want us to consider our focus or our approach to missions here at Crosswinds currently, as well as how the direction we are moving. And we're going to do that by answering three questions. But let's pray as we jump into God's Word. Father, I do ask now that you would be glorified in us as we approach your Word, that you would speak to us, because we do long to hear from you, and we long to be faithful to you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I mentioned that there's this underlying assumption that we're going to be working off of, and that is that we have been given this task to reach our neighbors as well as the nations. But I want to just start by saying, well, okay, is that actually true? Does Scripture actually support that? What is our global responsibility as a local church? And that's the first question that I hope to just briefly discuss. So let's start with the Great Commission. Jesus, in the moments before his ascension, he's got his disciples near him, and he gives his disciples a task in Matthew chapter 28. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the ends of the age." There's two parts of this commissioning that show that our task is that this task is not just for the first generation of Christians, but it's for us today as well. So first, notice that Jesus tells his followers to make disciples of all nations. And while the church grew exponentially in that first generation, it didn't expand to every nation at that point. So for Jesus's commission to be fulfilled, that means that it is a task that is handed off to the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation, including us as well. Notice also that Jesus says, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." And that's a promise that Jesus makes to his people that his presence is going to be with them. And it's true after that first generation of Christians dies. So this task to bring the gospel to the nations is not just for the first generation church, but it's for us as well, to make disciples of all nations. Now, what is our global responsibility? We start with that. The global Great Commission is our mission. That's our responsibility that Jesus has entrusted to the church. And so if our church hopes to stand before the Lord approved someday, that's what Paul says is one of his desires in 2 Timothy chapter 2, to stand before the Lord approved, then we have to consider our mission, not just locally, but also for us to consider it globally. Now, what does that look like? Well, Jesus begins to give us an answer in Luke chapter 10. He's talking with his disciples. He's about to send his disciples out. And he says this. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So Jesus is sending out these followers to preach the gospel, but he says, hey, you know what? There's not enough of you. There's more work available than there are workers. The biggest need for the fulfillment of the mission of the church is not for people to be more interested in Jesus, but it's actually for more people to go and tell people about Jesus. There are far more opportunities for the gospel to take ground than there are people who will go. And so what does Jesus tell his disciples to do? He doesn't say, make people guilty about not going. He doesn't say, coerce other people into going. He says, pray. Specifically, we are called to pray for God to raise up more workers. That's another part of this responsibility we have to the global gospel spread. We don't call people into missions. The Lord is the one who does that. But we do pray that he would call more and more people, because the harvest is filled, and that crop is it's not going to pick itself. We need more workers. There's a shortage of workers. And part of our responsibility globally is that we would pray that God would do that, that he would raise up more people, both locally as well as globally. Now, on the flip side of that equation, as we are praying for God to raise up more workers, there's a danger. The danger is God's actually going to answer that prayer. Like, if we begin to seriously pray that God will raise up more workers, he's going to do that. And he will call some people to go. That's what we see in the church in Antioch. I love the church in Antioch. I can't wait till we get to that part of the book of Acts. If you were to ask me, what do you want our church to look like? I would say, go to the book of Acts and look at the church of Antioch. I think that that's a pretty good place to start. Acts chapter 13, they are devoted to prayer, and then God, as they're praying, calls some of them to go. And specifically, the ones he calls to go are actually their pastors. Not just the leftovers, but the best and the brightest. They had the best pastor. They had Paul as their pastor, and they were called to send him out. Acts 13. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So what is our global responsibility as a local church? Well, we see that we need to be obedient when God calls us to go, and also when God calls us to send. It means that we value the gospel so highly that when God calls us to go and bring the gospel to the ends of the earth, that we can't do anything else except listen. It means that when our best friends in the church are called to bring the gospel elsewhere, even though that means it's going to be a painful parting, we can't help but send them, because the gospel matters that much. But there's another piece of this puzzle, because as we send people out, we don't just give them a token gift and we wish them good luck. At the end of the Bible, one of the final letters in the Bible from Jesus' followers, there's a short letter. And this letter, honestly, it's one that we might have the temptation to skim through if we're reading through the Bible and Bible reading plans. In it, the Apostle John is writing to his friend Gaius. And he says that he is filled with joy to hear that Gaius is faithfully following Jesus. But then he says, and do you know how I know that you are faithfully following Jesus? See, word had gotten back to John that some of the missionaries that were a part of John's church that had been sent out, they had visited Gaius's family and his church, and they had come back to John, and word had come back to John about Gaius and his church. And notice what John says in 3 John. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these that we may be fellow workers for the truth. There's a ton of weight there. Notice that John is saying, when you support, when you partner with people who are doing gospel work, who have been sent out, the last phrase there, we may be fellow workers of the truth. When we partner with people who are doing mission work, we also are doing mission work. But notice what else John says. Not only did Gaius show great love for these missionaries when they came and visited, but now John is saying that one of the ways that the local church participates in the global mission of God is by sending them out in a manner worthy of God. Now, here is a crucial part of this global responsibility that we have when we send people out. It's that we are lavish when we send. We send people out in a manner that is worthy of God. I'm going to be really honest with you, and I'm not, don't read this into anyone on this list of the missionaries we support. There have always been, there always will be plenty of missionaries that are not deserving of support. This is one of Paul's points. When he is talking in 2 Corinthians, he's talking about false apostles. It's really just another way of saying false missionaries. But when you encounter someone who is on mission for the sake of the gospel and they have given their lives for gospel proclamation, then we are called to partner with them and to do it lavishly. Now, that's the key word, partner. We've mentioned that a lot this morning. I want us to just consider what our global responsibility is, not meaning that we all go, but that we all partner. And I think that there's a difference here between not just writing a check, not just this pay and pray model, not just supporting them with this automatic withdrawal from our bank accounts every month without much more thought than that. We want to aim to be partners in the gospel. And that's why I went and visited Josh. We wanted to be partners with him. So what exactly does that mean? I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago, after coming back from Uganda. The most transformative book in the Bible on partnering with people who have been sent out is the book of Philippians. Philippians was written by Paul. Paul was a missionary. He was writing to a church that supported him, this church in Philippi. But this church not only supported him financially, they also partnered with him. And in response to their very specific, particular concern and care for him, Paul writes the letter of Philippians in response, basically as a saying, I can't thank God enough for the ways that you have partnered with me. And if we read this short letter through this lens, it is transformative on how we see our church's calling when it comes to missionaries. There's a ton that we could look at. Our missions team, we've been focusing a lot on this. Our elders have been focusing a lot on this. I just want to share just 4 implications of partnering rather than just supporting missionaries. The first one is this. Gospel partnership is all about relationships. It's all about relationships. Paul opens Philippians chapter 1, and he starts this way. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. This letter from Paul to the church in Philippi, it oozes with care and concern and love for this church in Philippi. Paul loves them dearly and desperately. He cares about them deeply. And you can tell that he has a relationship with them that goes far beyond them just giving him financial support and the occasional prayer update letter that's coming from him. What's more, we see that that relationship goes the other way as well. The church in Philippi, they send people to Paul to make sure that Paul is cared for, that in his times of need, that he has someone that is there with him. He doesn't have to do it alone. The church in Philippi is worried sick about him while Paul is in prison. And we see from reading Philippians that our global responsibility means that we are called to partnership, which means it's all about relationships. We actually have relationships with our missionaries. Second implication from Philippians is this: gospel partnership means greater joy than doing it alone. That when we partner with people, when we're truly partnered with people for the sake of the gospel, it means that it gives us far more joy than we could ever experience than doing it by ourselves. Philippians chapter 1 again. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. Paul isn't sure if he's going to live or die, and he reaches this conclusion that that things are better if he's alive. He's convinced of that because it means progress in the faith. It means joy for both him and the church in Philippi. He's convinced that future ministry is going to lead to further joy, even as he's received joy from hearing about their progress in the faith. That both parties here, they are linked together. And while they could theoretically do things on their own, they don't want to. They would rather be connected together because there's greater joy in working together. Paul by being the sent one, the Philippians by doing whatever they can to support and partner with the sent one. Third implication: gospel partnership doesn't just send money. It sends people too. This is really essential for us to understand. When it comes to partnership, sending money is not enough for us. We need to also send people, both short-term for care and, Lord willing, long-term to serve alongside on the mission field. That's what we see from the church in Philippi. When they heard of Paul's imprisonment, they sent someone, Epaphroditus, to go and care for him and to encourage him. Epaphroditus was the representative of the church in Philippi to Paul. So we read this in Philippians chapter 2. I've thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need, for he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. So here we have this church. They want to make sure that Paul is cared for. They send this man Epaphroditus to go visit him, to care for him in Rome. But while he's on his way there, or while he is there, he gets sick. He almost dies. Paul is worried sick. The church in Philippi begins to wonder, well, why hasn't he come back yet? And this is a time where, you know, there's not instant communication, and they're worrying, did Epaphroditus just run off with all the money that we sent with him? He just go and start living his own new life. And so Paul is writing back to the church in Philippi to encourage them, to make sure that Epaphroditus is honored in front of the church in Philippi, and says, hey, not only was he faithful, but his service almost took his life, and you should honor a person like him, because by him coming to visit me, he was able to fill something up in what was just lacking in your service to me. Not in a sinful way, just in the reality of a life where they're hundreds of miles away from where Paul is, that there was something lacking in the service, and so Epaphroditus comes and cares for him. And if we want to be a church that is globally partnering, then we need to be a church that also is willing to care for our missionaries like that, to send people to care for them. If partnerships are all about relationships, that means we invest more than just money. We invest ourselves. Final implication, gospel partnership involves giving, but it also involves receiving. A partnership goes both ways. It's not just one way. It means that our church is just as or more blessed than the missionary is. Paul writes this in Philippians 4. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Any healthy relationship goes two ways. It's not one way. It involves giving and receiving. It leads to joy on both sides. And any partnership or any relationship that is only one way, it's an unhealthy relationship. And when we move solely from, or when we move from solely supporting to partnering with our missionaries, it doesn't just mean they're good, it also means our good as well. So partnerships are all about relationships, and for us to faithfully live out our global mission, it means that we are establishing relationships, deep relationships that are there in times of sorrow that come at great cost to ourselves. So where do we go from here? This is where I want to close. First, I want to just look at this from the church perspective, and then just two questions. First question is let's just honestly assess, are we actually partners? Are we a church that is actually partnering with our missionaries? And I think we can be relatively honest with ourselves and say, hey, we're not living up to Philippians. We're not living up to 3 John. And once we own that and we acknowledge that, we move forward from there. Second thing is this, our supported missionaries focus on the Great Commission. One of the notable things about 3 John is that the people that are sent out that are worthy of this lavish support are those that are workers of the gospel and all that they do. Now, that's not to say that we have to focus exclusively on evangelism or church planting. Tom and Crystal Straub, many of you know them. They are currently serving with Reach Global Crisis Response. They are doing that, and that ministry comes alongside local churches in disaster areas to strengthen their impact in those communities. It's a beautiful ministry, and it's connected to the Great Commission. It's a good thing for us to support. As we seek to be more intentional, we should honestly ask ourselves, okay, are our partners, are our missionaries actually committed or focused on the Great Commission? Let's also consider this from the individual side of things, and this is more, but I'm going to be briefer. First is this, join us in praying for the global harvest. It would be awesome if we were a church that lived out Luke chapter 10, verse 2, praying for more workers to enter into the Lord's harvest, to pray for God to do this locally and for Him to do it globally. Second, join us in praying for our global workers, praying for people like Josh and Whitney and their family. And here's something that I do. This is super creative. On Monday, I pray for missionaries. Isn't that awesome? I do that every single day. I have a different letter that I associate with. So maybe you could do something similar. Pray for our global workers. Monday, missionaries. I have a kindergartner in the house, as you can probably tell. Third, join us in caring for our global workers. One of the things that Josh mentioned I think is so important. Sign up for those email newsletters. This is the awesome thing about technology. Sign up for those newsletters, read them, and then just send a 2-sentence response saying, hey, I'm praying for you, that's tough. Or this was so encouraging, thank God. And that's it. And that means a lot to them. That's an easy way for us to show our care for our global workers. And the fourth one is simply this, be ready to go and serve. Maybe not to Africa, maybe not long-term, but maybe. Be willing to go and serve. Might God be calling you to serve in some capacity? What does obedience look like for you when we consider our global mission, both to our neighbors and to the nations? I'm going to close this way with just reading from Psalm 67. I love this psalm. And as I'm reading this, I'm going to actually invite our high schoolers who are going to Kansas City to come on up and prepare for this next part. So come on up as I'm reading this, Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among the nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. You pray with me. Father, we are grateful for people such as Josh and Whitney, and for Luther and his family, and the opportunities to work alongside them and to celebrate the good work that they are doing. And God, we ask that you would be at work helping our church to find more opportunities to care in a way that not only sends money, but also sends people. That we would be relationally involved with our missionaries. God, that we would see that our commitment to reach the nations is a part of your heart. That we would take seriously reaching people with Jesus, both in our neighborhoods and in the nations. So help us, God, toward that end. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Crosswinds Church. More of Pastor Jordan's sermons can be found online at crosswinds.tv. Thanks for being with us, and may God continue to enrich your life.